You know, I call it just my little demons, but like it's just how I'm programmed, right. You know? If I don't do a certain amount of fitness, I have horrible anxiety, I have night terrors. I mean, it's really bad.
Right.
And it affects my whole life.
Yeah.
So similar, I'm very concerned about what might happen when all of a sudden all these hormones my body's been adjusting to just shut off.
Right.
After, and like you're supposed to now be caring for another human life.
Yeah. And it...
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Addicted to Fitness. And as always, if you haven't already given us a little bit of love and a little bit of a review in iTunes, we would so greatly appreciate that. You can give us a rating or just tell us that you love us.
Mm-hmm. 5 stars. Minimum 5-star review. That's it.
We'll really take anything. Yes. But thank you very much for that ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget to share with a friend. That's the big thing. Then you always say that sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. Yep. I mean, that they teach that, I think, in like kindergarten. So.
And we deeply appreciate it, guys, helping us spread the word of fitness around.
Yes.
So we got a little quick announcement before we get into this week's episode. I want to tell you guys that you guys can train with yours truly, Elemental Training Tampa, from anywhere. Dun, 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 dun. We have online training programs, options available to you. So all you have to do to find out more about these programs is to email me at elementaltampa@gmail.com, and I can be your personal trainer from anywhere around the world. All right, yes. Check it out, guys. Take advantage of this opportunity. So let's jump into that training recap for the week.
Woo-hoo.
All right, so...
Mine is super intense. I'm ready. I'm just getting ready.
You. I'm gonna go first, and then let you talk about your intense training regimen that you've been
intense,
doing.
So intense, man.
Mm-hmm. So I've been. I actually created a little fitness contract this past week. Something I shared with my my clients, but also something I wanted to do personally for me to try to. Add a little extra level of dedication to fitness goals. So I had a little contract made up, and basically it says, I state my name, solemnly dedicate myself to do blank in this amount of time or time frame. And then you sign your name.
It's all about accountability.
Yes. So my fitness goal is to go to jiu-jitsu at least once a week. That's my fitness goal, and I signed my name to it, so that's what I'm dedicated to do. So far, so good. I think the last 3 or 4 weeks I've been doing good, at least once a week. So that's my fitness goal, and so I've been able to do that. And also, in addition to training news, I officially had my first title boxing class today. I taught and led my first title kickboxing class. Yes. By myself, no co-instructing. I had the keys to the car for driving all myself. So
with your Britney Spears headset, yes. And just went to town.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if it's possible if I could just go, just yell. The headset is just too much for me. I don't know. Because then I start doing the moves and I start going around and then I start breathing heavy into the microphone and then like I can hear me breathing on the speakers and then I'm like all self-conscious. So
you're overthinking that.
Yes, of course. That's what I do. So but it was my first one, and that's just another opportunity that people here, obviously in Tampa, Florida, can have to train with ETT. So you can see me at Tampa Strength, you can see me at Title Boxing in South Tampa, and also ETT can come to your home and train you, and it can train you online. Don't forget about that. So, many options to train with me.
So versatile.
That was my training recap for the week. What about you?
I hope you're ready for this.
I know. I got all mine out of the way, so you could take. You could basically have
hold
a floor.
On to your pants because this is a big one.
I'm not wearing pants, so go ahead. What is that TMI?
Well, that's a visual. I'm sure everybody loves.
That's why this is audio.
I walked.
Whoa!
Yes.
Get back.
I walked, people. Uh-huh. That was my training last week. And I assisted in one one prenatal yoga class, yes. which was incredible from just an experience perspective because I love my prenatal yoga instructor. Mm-hmm. She's like one of the most like welcoming, nurturing people that you just want to be around. And she had some incredible feedback for me. And it was all very positive, and she really inspired me to not just continue, but also to just kind of follow my instincts. And she said I had good instincts that, you know, I didn't need to be walked through it step by step, that I just needed to follow my instincts. And she gave me some good kind of tips and things like that. And really, it was just a kind of, we had a great discussion after the class was done. About, you know, just how pregnant women and general probably are very underserviced.
Right.
As an audience, people are very standoffish and a little scared to approach us.
Yeah. So for anybody that may not, who this is their first episode, Shan is in, and is in her third trimester right now. So
yes.
So she feels some of the. I wouldn't say scorn is a strong word, but a little bit of this.
It's not, yeah, it's not scorn. It's just there's definitely a lot of, when, especially in, like, the health and fitness area, with people that do not specialize in pregnancy-related things, they're very conservative in their advice. They're very conservative even in, like, their wanting to kind of touch you or position you or really do anything with you. And I think we may have touched quickly on it in a previous episode where I talked about assisting in like a kind of mixed class. But I, even like my very experienced yoga instructors in my training that I've been going to for months, even they like don't really do a whole lot. There's maybe only one that's given me some really good hands-on adjustments or modifications. Most of the others are just like, don't do this, don't do this, steer clear of this, and try not to do this. And it's like, okay, so what can I still do? Pregnant women love being touched. I'm just going to throw that out there. Wow. Especially when it comes to just, like, later on in pregnancy. It's just having that contact, and your whole body has been thrown into such a different form and is going through so many aches and pains that when you have somebody that just comes up and one of the adjustments or kind of like assisting type things was for women that are really close to having their baby, it was like massaging their ankles. And who knew? Like the two very pregnant women that we did this to were like, oh my gosh, that was the most amazing thing ever. Like they were so appreciative. And apparently there's also pressure points around your ankles that are supposed to help, you know, move things along. So you'd only do this to someone in their late third trimester, but it was interesting. So like I learned things like that. Obviously, as I just said before, talking about my prenatal assisting class, I am very limited at this point as to what I feel comfortable doing. I probably could get on the bike at this point still, but it's not really that comfortable.
Yeah.
And I'd probably say I'd be on it for maybe 10 minutes and then I'd hop off. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's not nice to the nether region. I'm just going to say it. It's not nice to the nether region right now. And there's a lot of things happening that you just steer clear. Yeah. So walking, I can walk for short distances. I'm talking like 30 minutes, and then I gotta cut myself off.
Yeah, it's good enough to get the dog out in the middle in the morning.
Exactly. You know? The dog and I have had a new bonding experience because I get out of bed now, and the first thing I do is I walk her.
Yep.
And I used to just like either go into my workout or I would go into the shower, and now we have our little bonding moment.
Yep.
And it's like quality time, some QT with my furry cutie.
Yeah, I think you might have to start including the stroller soon, you know?
I know. It's going to be an interesting test. I'm going to have to do that on a weekend when I have, like, plenty of time. Yes. Because I have a feeling it's going to take me 15 minutes just to get a stroller out the door.
So our we could be that crazy people walking down the street with an empty stroller.
With a teddy bear.
And a dog. Yeah.
With a teddy bear and a stroller.
That might be even more weird.
People be like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
So that'll, like a crazy that'll be in my training recap for next week.
1,000-yard stare while we're doing it. Stare at people as we walk by.
Oh, yes. We're going to be the weirdos.
Yes. That's all right, but we got to get done. We know that's a big part. Kind of introducing animals to all things babies, as we've been learning. I know this is a little bit of a departure from the health and fitness, but that's something we're trying to learn because that's going to be an important part.
Yes.
With a dog and a cat trying to bring in essentially a screaming, living, another human.
A totally new creature that they've never experienced before in any capacity.
Right. All the essentially big things that go with it, cribs and swings and strollers and yada, yada, yada. All right, so enough with animal psychology. But we're going to stay on the baby-related health concerns. Or not concerns, but health topics.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was something we were talking about that you actually kind of brought up to me, is that you expressed, making sure that obviously I was aware of it, and that it is basically the postpartum symptoms after having the baby.
Dealing with postpartum, because everybody talks about, and I don't think that we've really beaten the whole pregnancy topic that much.
I don't think so, no.
We haven't really talked about it too much. We haven't really had any dedicated episodes to the pregnancy health and fitness.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody is interested in a specific topic around that, feel free to let us know. Or if you just have some questions as to how things have gone for me in particular, you can always reach out, like, in social media. But we are a pretty broad health and fitness show, so we haven't really focused in that much. However, again, postpartum is one of those things that just like pregnant women are very underserved in health and fitness, I think.
Right.
The same goes for postpartum. So, again, never had this experience, so this is all new to me. I'm sure there's a lot of ladies out there who are going to be like, duh.
Huh.
This is, like, common knowledge for people who have been pregnant. If you've not, then you may not know that everybody knows there's 3 trimesters in pregnancy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's also a 4th trimester. That may sound crazy, right?
Yep.
But that is the postpartum time period.
Okay.
And they say it is just as important for mental and physical health to pay attention to that 4th trimester of that postpartum period, which technically postpartum is like the year after you have your baby.
Okay.
But especially like those 3 to 4 months after you have your baby, that is considered a trimester for people who have been pregnant and work in this industry nowadays.
Okay.
So postpartum is kind of like this whirlwind because your body has been going through crazy things, and then all of a sudden all those hormones that have been turned on high and all of these changes that have been happening in your body, like everything just all of a sudden switches gears again. Like just like you turn a knob and it's just completely different again. And because of that, there are a lot of symptoms that come with postpartum. So when you first get pregnant, you have like some pretty, you can have volatile symptoms.
Yeah.
You can get super sick. You can be sore in various parts of your body. You've never been sore before. Postpartum is kind of similar to that because instead of having someone necessarily turn on a bunch of hormones, you turn off a bunch of hormones.
Right.
And you are probably dealing with less sleep. You're dealing with more stress.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I was really considering my top concern, just because I know my personal history, was postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not as worried about getting back into shape necessarily after having the baby, like just taking care of the baby in those first few months, that's going to be the focus. Keeping the baby and myself alive and hopefully not driving you insane. But the whole idea of like losing weight and all that stuff hasn't really factored in. But postpartum depression definitely has been something kind of lingering in the back of my mind, because I'm sure earlier this year many people heard there were some celebrities that became really, really vocal about their experiences with postpartum depression.
Really?
What's John Legend's wife?
Christy Teigen?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know.
Christine Teigen. Everybody knows who she is. Like, I mean, she's pretty funny and kind of fabulous. Yeah. But she wrote an entire article for a magazine, I believe. And she came out and admitted that she had postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, all of these other news articles and other celebrities and other people started coming forward and saying, yes, I actually did too.
Right.
And then news started coming out about how underreported postpartum depression, or PPD, really is. And when you think about any kind of mental illness, or not even mental illness, any sort of mental
syndrome,
situation that's outside, quote unquote, the norm, our culture has a very negative connotation towards that. Like, we're not supportive of like mental related issues. It's more of like, well, take a pill for it and move on. So that kind of culture, I think, has probably led to a lot of people not reporting, like not really going to their doctors and just dealing with these symptoms and this life-changing sort of mentality that you experience.
Right. I think part of it has to do with that kind of mindset. You say, like, it's not reported, because I think there's maybe a little bit of shame associated.
There's a definite amount of shame.
But I think
a lot of judgment.
Yeah, and I think it's judgment, lack of knowledge, because people think it's somewhat a choice. Oh, you're just down in the, you just feel bad. You know,
right.
you can pull yourself out of it. But as we've researched, that it's actually chemical imbalances that causes
it. It's legit, folks.
Yeah, so
we were very curious about this, because I have maybe referenced the fact that I do fitness-related activities to help kind of manage my stress and anxiety, mm-hmm. which can cause my brain to not be that positive and working correctly.
Right.
You know, I call it just my little demons, but, like, it's just how I'm programmed,
right.
You know? If I don't do a certain amount of fitness, I have horrible anxiety, I have night terrors. I mean, it's really bad.
Right.
And it affects my whole life.
Yeah.
So similar, I'm very concerned about what might happen when all of a sudden all these hormones my body's been adjusting to just shut off.
Right.
After, and like, you're supposed to now be caring for another human life.
Yeah. And it's, like I said, it's totally, you know, chemical, biological, with all the, like you said, the hormone control. And we were looking up, we thought to ourselves, why is postpartum depression essentially, just an evolutionary trait that humans have developed?
Yeah.
That happens, you know, at the max, you know, at the 5 days after giving birth. It's when essentially that's where, you know, postpartum anxiety and depression is at its height. You know, that's when women report it being the highest, you know, or, you know, they report the feelings of anxiety and depression.
These are all relatively older reports. So when we say reports, most of those are not as, like, relevant. I think they're doing more studies on that, but just throwing that out there.
Right. But I mean, what I looked up is that they say that the height is within 5 days, but can prolong to 30 or to, like you say, trimester. But it's actually, they say, one of the main culprits of why this kind of feelings of depression, anxiety occur is because the production of MAO-A protein, which we find was monooxidase.
It's amine. an It's an enzyme.
It's an enzyme that the brain produces, and it's produced in large amounts after childbirth because a lack of estrogen, correct?
Yeah, because when you become pregnant, your body like skyrockets in estrogen. And when you have your baby, all of a sudden your estrogen levels start to plummet. So it's like going cold turkey on estrogen. And it actually stands for monoamine oxidase A.
Yes.
Monoamine oxidase A.
And as some people who are familiar with depression or depression drugs, one of the classification that of drugs that used to treat these, monooxidase A is basically MAOA inhibitors. MAOIs. So that's kind of a classification of drugs that inhibits the production of, give it to me one more time, monooxidase A.
Yes.
Okay. It inhibits the production of that, which means reduces the feelings of anxiety and depression. Just to let everybody know, this is just us basically researching this.
Yeah.
We're probably missing some very large, or hopefully not missing any really big specifics, but we're just giving general outlines
of what we've learned. Very top level.
Yes.
We've read some like research papers where like it's written in paragraphs of just letters and equations. And we know enough about that because, right, thankfully we're both science enough minded, you especially, we can make sense of it, but right, we are not experts.
Right. So
we're just curious.
Yes. So this is what we looked up what is kind of one of the main causes of postpartum depression. It is the overproduction or the presence of this the MAOA. Okay,
yes,
inside the brain. And the reason why that is so essentially detrimental is that it inhibits the production or prevents the production of our feel-good hormones.
Yes.
Serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine. So this MAOA prevents the production of those. So, and obviously those chemicals, as you guys maybe are familiar with, I'm sure probably serotonin you guys have heard before, are, yep, the chemicals that our brain produces to make us, give us a little bit more feeling of euphoria, of happiness, things like that. So when that chemical is high and those feel-good chemicals are low, that's kind of a ideal condition for depression symptoms.
Yeah, and looking at some of the research that we pulled, it's these MAOAs are produced when you're specifically after having a baby, so postpartum, immediately following. It's because of the lower amounts of estrogen, progesterone, and this is going to be an interesting word, glucocorticoids. But it can also be further pushed along or made worse by increased stress.
Okay. Gotcha. So, which I'm sure having a baby, a newborn at home can
probably. Yeah. So like the immediate immediate cause is usually the lack of those hormones and things. But then also often initiated later on by elevated stress.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I can see that. So we were thinking to ourselves, I, how can we, as Shannon says, she's worried about that. So, and obviously I am too. So we were like, how can we avoid that? How can we minimize the effect of that chemical? What we did, I looked up some quick kind of, recommended natural, they call quote unquote natural tips. Yeah. So non-medicated. And first couple things I saw were exercise. Duh, we knew that, mm-hmm, right? Omega-3 fatty acids.
Yes.
So like a fish oil or foods that are high in those. Walnuts is also a good one, yeah, which we're already a fan of. And they actually put down acupuncture.
Yes.
So, which I think would be great since your mom's already an acupuncturist.
Mom.
So, boom. So, and also another category was proper nutrition.
Yeah.
And obviously, you guys know we love talking about nutrition on here. So I just wanted to delve into that a little bit more. And I looked up, I kind of saw what kind of supplements maybe are recommended for avoiding postpartum depression. And there's actually a brand new one that was just cut through. I don't know if it's FDA approved, yes, but it just went through a clinical trial that is a kind of, it's a supplement that combines three different components, I'll say. So two of them are amino acids, and the third one is actually concentrated blueberry extract. Yep. Which is, it, we might have mentioned
contains
it before.
A lot of antioxidants.
Yes, it's it has the antioxidant properties, and then especially when it's concentrated, even more so. But the two chemicals in this supplement that has been shown in clinical trials to help prevent or mitigate antidepression or postpartum depression is tryptophan, and I'm going to go with this other amino acid. It's tyrosine. T-Y-R-O-S-I-N-E. Tyrosine?
So immediately I said, great, give me some turkey and blueberries.
Yes, so.
I have no idea what tyrosine is.
Yeah, we already know that we got the blueberries covered. That's easy, okay? Luckily we live in Florida, so we just gotta, well, hopefully we'll get some, we won't get any fresh ones for a while, but I saw some good organic ones for TJ's.
Blueberry smoothies all day, every day.
Yeah, all day. All right, so. Tryptophan, like Shannon said, tryptophan, even though, you know, turkeys is supposed to be notorious for having that, but we've actually talked about that before.
Yeah,
that's not high. It's not that high.
It's
in
not
it.
That high.
So we wanted to see what other natural food, whole foods Shannon could eat to get a lot of tryptophan and the other amino acid, tyrosine. Okay. So let's go to the list. This is from nutritiondata.self.com. So it lists kind of nutrition data for different food items. Okay? So I'm going to go for the top 10. We're going to go 10 to 1. Okay, don't look. You can look. All right?
Aww.
So I want you to, I'm going to read these, and then you're going to say yes on the menu or not on the menu.
Like whether I'm going to eat it or not?
Yes.
Okay. All right, go.
So number 10, with 673 milligrams of tryptophan per serving, it is, I just lost it.
Just read up
it
the
says,
list.
It says egg white, dried egg white flakes.
Dried egg white flakes?
That's what it says.
Isn't that basically what they make protein powder out of? Like the whey protein
probably.
Powder?
Yeah,
stuff?
I actually saw some powdered egg whites in TJ's the other day.
So maybe. If it's in protein powder, I think I would consider it. But just... I mean, just having powdered egg whites.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yummy. Yeah, and this is for, I guess their serving is very high, apparently.
Yeah.
This says
well,
a half a pound.
We'll just read off the names,
so,
and I'll tell you yay or nay. We
yeah,
need
this
to
is
go
according
into
to this
10
to
1.
Data. Yeah, we don't want to go into the serving size. We got to get through this podcast. Okay, so number 9 is also egg white, dried egg white powder. Okay, so that's the same thing. Okay, they're just getting into specificity. Number 8, soy protein isolate, which is actually something that's in a lot of protein bars.
Yep.
You know, so
I would do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the one that you have, but definitely. Couple of protein bars, Omega, the one I've eaten before, they have soy protein isolate.
I like those. I like the chocolate mint.
All right. And number 7, I think this one's a possible candidate, spinach.
Oh, heck yeah.
So spinach has 690 milligrams.
Bring
right?
it on.
And they have it as frozen chopped leaf, so frozen spinach, a cup of that. Okay, so that's good. That's on your list. And then, keep losing my place. 6 is also protein, okay? 6 is also protein isolates, just a different form. Number 5, seaweed. Spirulina, which is usually a powdered supplement.
Yeah.
We've already talked about spirulina.
This is one of those, like, superfoods that, you know, like you heard, we talked about it specifically in this superfood, like, myth or fact, like, thing that we did.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it.
Really? Not even a supplement, like in smoothies?
If it was a supplement, like a pill, then yes.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would be able to meet the amount you need as just like a regular ingredient because I've tried the powders. Like I've had the freaking like little jar of dried spirulina powder in my freezer for months and months and months, and I've tried to put it in my smoothies. But that stuff is nasty. It tastes really gross. I mean, maybe it's just a personal thing, but I couldn't do it. I tried to put it in my smoothies, and it just made my smoothies taste funky.
And this is a miss. It says seaweed, but spirulina is actually a blue-green algae.
Yeah, it's everybody. Not seaweed.
Seaweed and algae, two different things, okay? Just to let you know.
We're just going to put a question mark next to that one.
I think probably since you've used it last, I think there's probably been some good strides, improvements. Yes.
I hope so.
So I think we're going to put that on the list because that's also basically the number one dietary source of iron.
Oh,
it's higher than 1 ounce of that is higher than 3 ounces of beef liver. So, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not going to have any
exactly.
liver.
Well, yeah, hopefully you will because number four on the list, game meat. Elk. Yay? Nay? No?
And you hear the laughing? The nervous laughter?
No elk?
No, I'm not going to eat any
elk. We can get some
elk. I'm okay. not going to be eating any
right.
elk.
That is apparently three and four because they say raw elk for number four. I don't know why they would do that. Okay, so this leads to the last. One and two are the same. It's one of those another things that actually
forms.
It's, yeah, different forms, okay? So this is number one, okay? Both of these, one of them has over 1,300 milligrams of tryptophan. The other one has over 2,500 milligrams of tryptophan. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Sea lion meat.
Yeah, I'm going to go on out on a limb and say big no.
Sea lion?
Is that even legal?
If you were an Alaska native, apparently only.
Oh my gosh.
So apparently,
weird.
We can't get the number one, according to nutritiondata.self.com. We can't get the number one source of tryptophan.
I better like spirulina then.
Yes, exactly. So spirulina
like
and spinach and soy protein isolate seem to be your number one options for tryptophan.
I think we'll be okay with the protein powders and the supplements and then protein bars and spinach.
So I'm trying to see where turkey is on this list, folks, because everybody thinks, oh, turkey, tryptophan, right? I am...
It's really not that much.
I am not even... It's not even in the top 50. I'll tell you that right
now.
Okay? So the other one, the other supplement that helps to kind of prevent...
Yep.
According to the clinical study, is tyrosine. Okay, L-tyrosine, I know, is an additive or a supplement that's in a lot of different... or is a... component of different supplements. So it's an amino acid. Number 10, top 10 source of this, coming back to it, powdered egg whites. Another, it's back
it's
in
like
there.
They're trying to sell us egg whites or something.
Well, it's a huge, because it's protein, basically. Anything that's really kind of like a pure protein is going to be high in these amino acids.
Yeah.
So, well, look at this. Number 9, turkey.
Hey, turkey made
turkey
the list.
Turkey is on the list for tyrosine, not tryptophan. How about that, folks?
The truth comes out.
All right. So, number 8, salmon. Okay? Fresh salmon. We know, you know, we'll see. Maybe you're...
Sushi.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah, and it actually has raw in here, so...
Yes.
Number 7, it's back. Spirulina.
Oh, goodness.
It's back. You're going to have to like
I'm
it.
We're going to have to learn to
We're
like
gonna
this
get
stuff.
It. We're going to get it. Number 6, cottage cheese.
Oh, I like cottage cheese.
How about that?
Throw some blueberries in there and I'll be good.
They actually have it for
and
the low,
walnuts.
The low fat. There you
Look
go.
Look at that.
Whoa.
That's like a super dish
that
I just made up.
Oh, snap.
It's a healthy anti-depression
cocktail.
Super
or
dish.
Or not cocktail. Cocktail, that sounds right. Anyways, yeah, so 6 was cottage cheese. Number 5, raw egg whites.
Probably not.
No?
No, I'm not going to pull like a weightlifter and be like, let me just put some raw eggs in my smoothie.
Number 4, soy protein isolate. Number 3 and 4, again, is soy protein isolate. I think that's a sign. We may need to check that out.
Yep.
Actually, excuse me. And 2. 2 is soy protein isolate.
Jeez.
And number 1 is spirulina, the raw version. Number 7 was spirulina, the dried version. I don't know about the spirulina, the raw version. Interesting.
Go scrape some spirulina out of the ocean?
Yeah. So, I mean, the dried spirulina, which is number 7, is over 1,700 milligrams of tyrosine. So, it's not bad, and the raw is only 2,000, over 2,000 milligrams. So,
some interesting things on there.
Yeah. So, we
can
get
that.
Possibly egg white powder. We might be going with that.
Yeah.
Definitely maybe some soy protein isolate. It's probably an option for our protein powder. Then obviously cottage cheese was a good one. So no to the sea lion.
I'm going to say no.
No to the sea lion. Okay.
Pretty sure most legal bodies will also back me up
I think
no sea lion.
I think we would have to move to Alaska. Yeah. And then, you know, obviously...
and become Eskimos.
Yes. So, or Inuit, either one. Okay. All right. So, that's what we got. I don't know why I just clapped. It was probably very awkward. So super awkward for anybody still listening.
That was really awkward for me. Yeah. And I was sitting here. I was like, oh my goodness.
Okay. So,
That's the nutrition side.
Yeah. We got the nutrition side and we talked about exercise, and acupuncture.
The acupuncture, the good thing is my mom's close by.
Right.
Can definitely utilize her. And the only issue with the exercise, though, is that I'm not allowed to do a whole lot of exercise for the first 6 weeks.
Really?
Because things are healing.
Right. Well, so I know. I'm not saying you're jumping on the bike.
No, but, like, you're really not supposed to do a whole lot. Right. Like, getting out and walking is probably going to be some of the first.
Right.
Probably once I'm able to and feel comfortable, some very light yoga. But there's definitely restrictions put on your exercise and activity level. So as advice, it is great to incorporate exercise, but do it within sense based on your healing.
All right. Yeah.
Because there's going to be some downtime. You can't just have your baby and then be like, I'm going to go run a marathon. Although I heard a story recently about somebody that did that.
Sounds like a bad idea.
She, like, ran a freaking marathon 3 months after she had a baby. It's amazing.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we got the recipe. We're going to give it a go.
Yep. And I think we've got, you know, at least we understand somewhat of the reasons behind what can cause it.
Right. Yep. And it's no fault of anybody. There's nothing about, you know, people are too mentally weak or anything like
that.
There's
a lot of people that say, like, you're not a good mom if you're, you know, complaining about depression or something like that. It's just a whole lot of BS.
Right. Yeah.
So that stuff, screw those people.
Right. Yeah. We found out here that it's actually a chemical imbalance in the brain that we've got to kind of prevent by all those three things or three or four things we talked about.
You just have to manage it. Yep. So, like many other physical issues or limitations or, heck, even strengths, you have to learn how to manage it, and that is what we're going to try to do. So, hopefully, Nick really wants to clap again. Just for the record, he is about to clap and call it a day. So, we will we'll report back.
Yes.
Actually, we'll give you a little update once we get into that postpartum period. It's not coming up like ridiculously soon, but it is approaching.
Right. Yep.
So we'll be honest. We'll be transparent. We'll keep you posted on kind of how our plan pans out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, guys. We really appreciate you listening. We really appreciate you guys sharing the podcast with a friend. Please, like Shannon said in the beginning, please, if you get a chance, hit to iTunes. Give us a rating review. You don't really think about it. I mean, it's a simple thing, but it helps us reach a broader audience.
I know. You don't really think like 2 minutes of your time, not even 2 minutes, maybe 60 seconds, mm-hmm. is all it takes to really make a big impact on how many people see our podcast and like searches and rankings and things like that. So
exactly.
A little bit goes a really long way.
All right. Show us a little love, folks. All right. You got anything else for them?
Not today.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.
I just realized, don't flick my boob.
I'll take it.